Daniel chapter 3. Most of y'all have no idea what that's about, but I'm just joking. Probably everybody in the building knows Daniel chapter 3, amen? You get there, let's stand in honor of God's word, amen? We're going to start reading in around verse 10. Most of us know the story. We know the story how that in Nebuchadnezzar, the king made an image of gold, and it was so high, and everybody was ordered that at the sound of the music, everybody had to bow down and worship this image. And if you didn't bow down and worship this image, then you were going to be cast into a burning fire. Verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kind of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? That's kind of what the world does today. What do you mean you don't serve the gods we serve? What do you mean you don't serve the God of lust? What do you mean you don't serve the God of money? What do you mean you don't serve the God of Hollywood? Y'all just weird. Amen. You got to understand something. In all the land, Jackie, there was only three that stood out. Let that sink in a minute. In all the land, there was only three that stood out. Verse 15, now Nebuchadnezzar is going to give them another chance. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kind of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, hold on a minute, let me just throw this in there. The Lord just kind of gave me a thought. They didn't wait for the music to start. They didn't wait for the call the guitar player up. They didn't wait for the band to kick up. They said, hold on, we ain't got to wait no longer. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. One way or the other, it's going to be all right. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And if the devil had any say so, that would be the last verse of this chapter. But the devil ain't got no say so in it, amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose. walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Lord. Thank you, God, for the spirit that we can already feel tonight. God, we ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, help me, Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, it ain't about me, God. Bless each and everybody under the sound of my voice. God, touch those that can't be here. Lord, if they're watching through Facebook or YouTube, God, bless them. Have your way right now, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever feel like you're alone in your trials? Amen. Every last one of us, we all do. And I want you to know something. As I was studying and thinking about this, I had to look this up. I'm pretty sure I knew it, but I wanted to look it up just to make sure. And do you know when you go into a fire, if you're a fireman, anybody in Mike knows what I'm talking about. If you go into a fire, you would think that fire would be bright. You would think you'd be able to, you know, but the smoke and everything else, it's very dark in a fire. It's impossible to see in a fire. So when we're in the trials of life, that's why we can't see Jesus. But that don't mean he ain't there. Amen. You might be going through the fire tonight. And hey, if you ain't going through the fire tonight, just wait till next week. Glory to God. Hey, you'll go through the fire then. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You've been in the fire. We've all been in the fire. And I'm telling you, sometimes when you're in the fire, you just can't feel Jesus. You just can't see Jesus. But guess what? There ain't never been a fire that you ever been in that Jesus was not there. That's why he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. So why is Jesus, I want to preach just a little while tonight on this thought, why Jesus is still in the fire. Why Jesus is still in the fire. We all, y'all know the song that we sang with the choir, and you know he's still in the fire, amen. I love that song. I've been singing that song for about 40 years now, and it blesses my heart every time I hear it, every time I get to sing it, and I get to thinking about he's still in the fire, amen. Why is he still in the fire? Number one, because the trials or the fires still exist today. None of us are immune. Not one of us. John chapter 16, verse 3. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. Life is still full of fires. Life is still full of trouble. Life is still full of trials. And every last one of us are going to go through it at some point in our lives. I know multiple times throughout my life, there have been fires that I've had to go through. There have been trials that I've had to go through. There have been valleys that I've had to go through. But thank God, hey, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where I'm at, he's always there. And you're going to go through something. Every last one of us are going to go through. What are you going through right now? Listen to this little poem. I found this today. Man, this is good. It's called Good Timber. The tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light, that stood out in the open plain and always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never had to toil to heaven from the common soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger wind, the tougher the trees. The farther the sky, the greater the length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow, in tree or man, good timbers grow. Where thickest stands the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of them both. And they hold the converse with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars of many winds and of much strife. This is the common law of life. Amen. I want to be good timber. Amen. I want to be somebody that can stand. And I understand something. Hey, to be good timber, you got to go through some stuff. Each and every one of us. Don't cry and pout when you're going through something. God's trying to take that and use that to make you a better Christian. Amen. Trials still happen today. That's why Jesus is still in the fire. Jesus is still in the fire because his presence brings peace. Do you hear what I said? How many times have you been going through something? And I mean, it just seemed like the devil's unloaded on you. And it seemed like you turn this way and there's trouble. You turn that way and there's trouble. And all of a sudden, you get down on your knees. Or all of a sudden, you come into God's house. Or all of a sudden, you get down in a corner somewhere and you start praying. And all of a sudden, the peace that passes all. Hey, you ain't supposed to have peace in times like this. But guess what? There is somebody that can bring peace in times like that. Did you notice what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 3? He said, I see four men loosed and walking around. They wasn't in the corner pouting. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. If you're in the presence of Jesus, you're going to be worshiping. You might still be in the fire, but you can have your hands raised up. Amen. There's peace. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1 and 2 says this, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The fire should have killed him, but it didn't. The fire should have killed him, but it didn't. Amen. Why did they not feel the fire? Because Jesus was there. Why did the fire not kill you? Because Jesus was there. They tried to kill John. They tried to boil him in oil, but it wouldn't happen. Why? Because Jesus was there. They done their best to kill Daniel. They took Daniel, threw him into a den of lions that should have eat him, should have burped him out the next day. But guess what? The next day when they took the door, they opened the door. There was Daniel in there and said, hey, King, everything's all right. God brings peace. Peter slept in the prison. They were planning on killing him the next morning, and Peter was asleep in the prison. That's peace right there. Paul and Silas, amen, sang in the prison. They were worshiping God in prison. Why? Because when trials are there, the peace of Jesus is there. You can't explain it to somebody that's lost. You can't explain it to somebody that ain't never been there. But for all of us that's gone through some fires, Brother Donald, we know. That's why he's still in the fire. Jesus is still in the fire because the fire refines our faith. Now you think about what I'm telling you. Fire refines. James chapter 1 verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more far and exceeding eternal weight of glory. The fire did not destroy their faith, but I wonder. I was thinking about this today, Mike. After Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got out the fire, I wonder what happened the next time the devil threw something up at them. I can just imagine, they're looking over there. You got to be kidding me. Is this all you got? You got to understand something, folks. When you go through something, when God brings you through something, and God, when they tell you you can't sing no more, and they tell you you might not never be able to sing again, and God touches you, and you stand up, and you better it out for God. I'm telling you right now, hey, there ain't nobody else can. They might not know why you're singing, glory to God, but you know why you're singing. When the devil tells you, Mike, hey, it's over, and you're gonna die of a stroke, and the devil tells you you won't never find a good woman, amen. I'm telling you, when God shows up, amen, you ought to just go ahead and praise him. Like the old song says, it's too late to tell me he ain't real. Oh, it's over. It's a done deal. It's too late to tell me he can't answer prayer. Amen. It's too late. Hey, I done been shot. I done been through shootouts. I done been through car wrecks. I done been through a lot of stuff. And God brought me through all that. And guess what? He's going to bring me the rest of the way home. Amen. It refined their faith. I read this today, and I thought this would go good with this sermon. A clay pot just sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. But if you put it through the fire, it can turn into porcelain. Amen? Fire refines. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire. They had great faith. Amen? We that's what we read. But my Lord and Brother Robert, when they came out the fire, I'm telling you right now, them boys could have probably prayed fire down from heaven. Them boys could have healed, the sick, they could have healed the leper. Their faith would have been monstrous. That's what God does, amen. That's what God does. They had faith before, we understand that. And listen, in 1893, engineer by the name of George Ferris built a machine that bears his name today, the Ferris wheel. Now listen. When it was finished, he invited a newspaper reporter to accompany him and his wife for the inaugural ride. It was a windy July day, so a stiff breeze struck the wheel with great force as it slowly began its rotation. Despite the wind, the wheel turned flawlessly. After one revolution, Ferris called for the machine to be stopped so that he and his wife and the reporter could step out. In braving that one revolution on the wind-blown Ferris wheel, each occupant demonstrated genuine faith. Mr. Ferris began with the scientific knowledge that his machine would work and it would be faith. Mrs. Ferris and the reporter believed that the machine would work on the basis of what the inventor had said, but only after the ride could it be said of all three that they had a personal and experience in their faith. Only after the ride can your faith be proven. Oh, you can claim to be a Christian all you want to. You can claim to love God all you want to, but until you're tried by fire, that's when you'll really find out what kind of faith you got. Jesus is still in the fire because that's where deliverance happens. They were bound, Dallas, they were bound going in, but they were loose coming out. What's binding you tonight? What's got you bound down tonight? Think about that. The heat of the fire did not destroy them. The heat of the fire. The only thing that was burnt when they went into the fire was their bonds. The things, now go back to what the Bible said. The Bible said they called for the mightiest men in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm talking about people about the size of Kevin and Blake and Adam back there. I'm talking about monsters. Yeah. I'm talking about guys with muscles bulging out of their earlobes. And they take and they bind them down. And when they tighten down on these ropes, don't you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably couldn't even move, Jackie. They probably had to be picking them up. That's why the fire killed them. They had to get close enough to throw them in. They were bound going in, but somewhere between going in and coming out, Jesus shows up. And the fire is so hot that all it burns is the thing that's holding them down, glory to God. And the Bible says that you couldn't even smell smoke on them. My Lord, I can't even get within a quarter of a mile of a fire and I smell smoke all over me. That's where deliverance happens. That's where God shows up, amen. That's where God comes on the scene. I read a story of a little girl that wanted to climb this mountain that her brother loved to climb up and play on. And her brother told her one day, said, well, you're big enough now, let's go. And she was all excited about climbing this. It was a very steep hill. And she gets to the bottom of this hill, and she looks up, she says, Why is there so many rocks? We got to climb this hill. Why is there so many? Why can't it be just slick? Her brother said, the rocks are there to steady our feet. You want to know why the rocks are there in your life? It's so you can climb. Tell you something, folks. God's working something in our life. God's doing something in our life. Jesus is still in the fire because his glory is revealed in the fire. Now listen, I never thought about this really until today. Verse 24 and 25, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth man and fourth is like the Son of God. They only saw Jesus when someone went through the fire.
Yeah, that's right.
There's people in your life that will only see Jesus when they see you go through the fire. I talked with somebody today. They called me today asking me about how to invite a lost loved one. I said, the best thing you can do is live it before them. I said, live it before them. Be the Christian you're supposed to be. Invite them to church. Don't badger them, but you live it before them. Amen. That's when people see. They're going to watch you. People are watching Brother Kenny to see how Brother Kenny does every time he comes to church. People are watching Brother Donald Boone. People are watching you and I every day of our life just to see how you're going to handle the fire. Now, don't do like me sometimes. Sometimes I don't handle the fire too good. Amen. I know y'all better than I am. I know, y'all heard me say this before. I preached a bunch of holy people. I ain't one of them. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I fail the test. I told y'all about the other week when I kicked that barrel. How many of y'all remember me telling you that story?
Yeah.
The rest of y'all had to go back and watch on Facebook because I ain't telling you again. Sometimes I don't handle the fire too good. I was talking to somebody this week. And they said something to the effect of they grew up in a godly home and said they never saw their parents drink alcohol. I'm thinking, praise God, my kids can say that same thing. Never saw their parents split up and leave. Praise God, my kids can say the same thing. People are watching us. And if I can't be a Christian in front of my son and my daughter, my son-in-law and daughter-in-law and my grandkids, I'm losing it. I need to make sure every day of my life, even in the fire, that I represent him well. You know why? Because he's still in the fire. And when you act crazy in the fire, guess who's right there with you and is watching you everywhere?
Yeah.
He's keeping score, amen?
Right.
Jesus is still in the fire because he's faithful to the end.
Yeah.
He's faithful to the end. He said he could have sent an angel, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He could have sent Moses or Elijah, but he didn't. He could have come down and stood on the outside and spoke everything.
Yeah.
But he didn't. You know why he was in the fire? Because he was in the fire before they got there. Amen. He was waiting on them when they got there. Amen. He already knows what you're going to face next week. He already knows what you're going through. And I'm telling you right now, if his word's true, and I know it is, he'll be there waiting on you in the valley. He'll be there waiting on you in the mountaintop. He'll be there waiting on you when you go through surgery. He'll be there waiting on you when the doctor don't give you a good report. He'll be there waiting on you when everybody else leaves. He'll be there waiting on you when nobody else will stand with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He's in the fire because he's faithful to the end. I'm glad he ain't a savior from a distance. Amen. That's why they call him Emmanuel. God with us. Woo! Glory to God. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And he's still in the fire. Because the fire can't stop his purpose. If you go back and read this scripture, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, Daniel's not mentioned in this passage, but these four men had been promoted like nobody else had been promoted. They had proven themselves to be good, godly men. They had proven themselves to be loyal to the king. They had proven themselves over and over and over, and they were already up there. But God had a different plan. The Bible tells us in verse 28, look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just before, you know, he was asking them, hey, you mean to tell me you don't serve my God? You ain't going to bow down to my God? What's wrong with you people? After the fire, he's telling something different. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, to go, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God was worshipped throughout all the land. The king made a decree, if you say anything against this God, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill all your family. We're going to burn your house to the ground. God's got a purpose in everything. And we just kind of look in, let me kind of put it in our earthly minds. Maybe before the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were like lower echelon politicians. After the fire, they said, we're going to put you governor here, you're going to be governor there, and you're going to be governor there. And you're going to rule the way you want to rule. Because you got God on your side. If you're going through something tonight, God's using it. God's going to take it, and God's going to take you to the next level. We've always said this, you know. When we were in school, I hated school. I talked to the Parsons all the time. If I had to do as much schooling as they did, I hated school. I hated taking tests. But you know why you take a test? To see can you be promoted to the next level. And until you pass the test, you don't get promoted. You don't know why you're going through the fire? God's testing you. God's testing you. I want you to bow your heads with me.